You're listening to Catch the Current, your go-to podcast from Undercurrent News for seafood news, data, and pricing. I'm Amanda Buckle.
And I'm Lauren Castiglione. It's the final countdown. Okay, you can go into the next thing.
I don't have a lot of sound clips I can pull from, Lauren.
Keep the kitschy things short or sweet.
All right, well, that's right. It is Seafood Expo North America weekend, so you may very well be listening to this episode while traveling to the wickedly awesome city of Boston, Massachusetts.
And if that's the case, thank you very much. And if you see us walking the floor of Sina, please stop and tell us how much you love us.
Because we truly can't hear enough of it. I love you, Lauren.
I love you too, Amanda.
You're a fantastic co-host, and I value all the really interesting data and insight you bring to the table. And dang, girl, your hair has been looking great.
Thank you.
Where were we? Pre-gaming for Boston. All right. There is nothing like good old St. Patrick's Day in Boston during Sina. So, Lauren, any Sina predictions for this year?
Well, we've got merger and acquisition news for sure.
Well, that's the safest answer if I've ever heard one. I was going to go for the early open bar at Lineage's booth, but okay.
Well, that's an obvious one, too.
Yeah, Boston, or the time period at least, you know, in that realm, certainly brings out the M&A in people. I mean, over the past few years, that's when Cook announced it was to be acquiring Slade Gorton.
Fortune's acquisition of Boston Sword and Tuna 2 happened at Boston 1 year ago.
And this week, the big M&A news leading into Boston is that U.S. seafood investor Jordan Mazzetta has acquired an East Coast scallops and whitefish processor based in Portland, Maine.
Undercurrent editor-in-chief Tom Seaman got the scoop earlier this week that Highwood Harbor, owned by Mazzetta, acquired a majority stake in Nova Seafood, a seafood processing and distribution company. The Portland-based company processes and distributes scallops, haddock, and cod from its 18,000-square-foot facility. Mazzetta told Undercurrent that Nova will operate independently from Eddie M. Seafood, the former Mori Seafood International business acquired by Mazzetta in December of 2022.
What other mergers and acquisitions are happening within the industry? Undercurrent will have unmatchable coverage of Seafood Expo North America, so be sure to keep an eye out for UCN's upcoming Sina blog covering all the big news from the show floor. Know what I'm really looking forward to?
The samples.
Stop it! But yes, kind of. I love seeing the new products.
So I checked out the page of all the new products, and it's always so invigorating, and seeing all the new inspiration that's happening. But the one picture that caught my eye first was the superfood and salmon smashers. The description reads, "A bold new take on salmon, get ready to smash it. A game-changing salmon experience packed with fun and flavor." So I'm really looking forward to seeing what that's all about.
Yeah, so I'm hoping we get to visit Smash It Foods. They're at booth 3459, and the Smash It Foods name, it doesn't sound familiar to me. I don't know if it sounds familiar to you, Lauren.
No.
But does plant-based seafood company ring a bell?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, right. So they're the makers of Mind Blown plant-based seafood brand. They have the line of dusted shrimp and crab cakes, yeah. They are the same company. So they're expanding, and you know, knowing the background of the plant-based seafood company is that the founder, Monica Talbert, and her mom, Shelley Van Cleve, have a background in traditional seafood, and then they went into the plant-based seafood, and now they're getting into this smash thing, you know, with combining veggies and with seafood. It says loaded with 6 grams of protein, prebiotic omegas for gut health. That's pretty cool.
So really making a perfect protein even better.
Girl power. They got some really cool stuff going on. Another cool thing I'm excited to see is umami paste from Culinary Aid. Can enhance any meal. I think it's kind of cool. It seems like something I've run into at like Costco. I like going through those like aisles and seeing these random new spices and seasonings I can add to like my everyday food, just because I'm always buying the broccoli and whatever, like, you know, veggies to like make with something. And then I like adding different seasonings. I used to like find this like Parmesan, like truffle cheese mixture. So I feel like this umami paste would be something I would pick out.
Anything to elevate our normal. I mean, I'm continuing to see those hot honey flavors, those sesame soy flavors. Lots of that smoked fish, either the salmon or some of that bronzino, like we saw from Angel Oak, hot smoked bronzino. Mm-hmm. That looks awesome.
A lot of convenience items.
Yes.
So you see the sushi go bowls.
Yeah. Yes, that is so cool.
You know, because like you definitely seeing a lot more in in the convenience stores too, like all over. More people are carrying sushi, you know, and so seeing these sushi go bowls who are really neat. One, actually, if you want to check out the sushi go bowls, booth 705, that's from East Coast Seafood. Another one, Phillips came out with a stuffed lobster tail. So remember that Phillips working with lobster is still relatively new. They just acquired that processing facility in Canada, I think it was last year. So they're definitely coming up with different and unique items, and this stuffed lobster tail, the photo looks really good. It looks
so good.
And again, like any way to elevate my evening at home and without me doing a lot of extra work is appreciated.
And just looking through all of the submissions, your mouth is just watering. I also saw one that we've tried and already know that it's so good, the salmon snack stick from Surf Snacks.
Yes, I was excited to see that. I'm very excited to see if they have different flavors there, because yes. I absolutely love the one we got. And then you said, right, they also did like the pepperoni. Don't they also have a samaroni. If no one has that name yet, I'm taking it. Samaroni. No, the point is that this is the time to try different things and see what everyone's got going on. And we're so, so excited.
All right. Enough about Boston. Let's get to the real reason we're here. Snow Crab. We are roping in Undercurrent's very own Gary Morrison and Barb Dean Simmons into the conversation again.
We're changing Catch the Current to The Barb Show, because I am fully taking advantage of having Barb on the team.
So the first obvious question here, Barb, is since we last talked, do we have any idea of when the snow crab fishery in Newfoundland and Labrador is going to open, fingers crossed?
No.
And that wraps up our episode.
Thanks for joining us, Barb.
We have no confirmation yet of a start date for Newfoundland. I expect any day that the Department of Fisheries and Oceans will make that announcement. So yeah, we're still in limbo. Everybody's hoping for end of March, but it could possibly go into first week of April.
Okay, so we are slowly inching there, because I mean, right now we're recording this. We record on Thursday, so it's March 13th. So it could be, you know, any week now. We're all waiting on bated breath, honestly, for the announcement. Barb, I feel like in the past few years, during this time of the year, leading up to the opening, there's always a lot of chaos over prices and fighting.
And we live for that.
And so. We love it. You know, so all that between the fish food and union workers, or FFAW, and the Association of Seafood Producers, also known as ASP. You know, then there's 2025 and the start of the Trump administration and the introduction of the tariffs. And it's kind of like a new hold my beer moment, you know, in terms of snow crab chaos.
And don't forget, like, Newfoundland has the largest snow crab fishery in the world, but we also have some major quotas coming out of the rest of Atlantic Canada. And just today, actually, the Department of Fisheries and Oceans announced the quota for the Southern Gulf, putting it at about 18,000 tons or thereabouts. So that fishery will likely get going first week of April. They'll start fishing. They don't have the same mechanism that Newfoundland has and the same formal process for setting prices. So they'll start fishing and they'll figure out the dock price later while the processors figure out the market and all that fine stuff. In Newfoundland, yes, it's a bit more complicated. What they're doing this year, like last year, is they're meeting to try to settle a price that works for both the FFAW and the Association of Seafood Processors. If they don't agree themselves, then they pass it off to a price-setting panel, which then determines which price offer would be closer to the market reality. That price-setting panel is set to meet on March 20th. So if the FFAW and ASP want to avoid that process, they kind of have to settle something in the next week or so. And I know they're deep into negotiations right now in St. John's, to the point where the negotiator for the ASP has canceled his trip to Boston because they're at crunch time.
Wow. That's pretty serious.
So Barb, looking into your crystal ball, do you think the price is going to lie close to where 2024 started?
Hard to say at this point. I was talking to a crab harvester from Nova Scotia earlier this week. They were speculating prior to 1st of January that the dock prices for crab this season might reach as high as $6 a pound Canadian. They're pulling back on that. I think the hope is that they'll get at least $3 to $3.50 like they did last year. But again, it's a big question mark, because it depends on how the market reacts, the impact of tariffs. And so everybody's just going into this season with some hope, but a lot of worry.
Now, Gary, you've been quiet. What are your thoughts on what you think the price is going to be, you know, with the start of the season?
Yeah, I'll echo a lot of what Barb has said. I think, Barb, you know, for you, I think when we talk about the negotiations, I think one of the constraining factors that people talk about, they don't come to an agreement, is when they go to negotiations, it's an either or, right? So the price setting panel has to pick one side or the other. They can't come up with something that's maybe in the middle that might be a little bit more fair to both sides. So I think that's one of the constraints that these guys are talking about. But when we're talking about this year, I mean, you know, Barb talked a lot about, you know, some of the things that are going to impact, you know, what's happening. And I think I just kind of want to set the stage of, you know, where we came from as well, because I think there's a lot of factors at play. I mean, we're talking about the industry is at virtually a zero inventory position right now. So prices that maybe were a year ago at around $5.50 a pound started the season about $6.50 last year. And steady demand from probably all sectors of the economy has pushed prices up to about $9.40 a pound right now, if you can find any inventory. So we're at elevated.
If you can find it. If you can find it.
Right. Yeah. So, and if you look at some of the import numbers from January, 1.3 million pounds imported from Canada. That's 19% below last January. So that's, you know, compounding the issue. So there's virtually there's virtually no inventory out there. There's no supply. The new season, you know, there's really strong buy-in right now. And, you know, that's probably going to be one of the factors that play into the price setting and, you know, these negotiations and all these things that we just talked about really set it up for something really bullish. But the panel will have to navigate the higher prices and the current tariff threats, which are basically unprecedented in heading into the negotiations.
Yeah. I know, Barb, you mentioned in your story this week that Jeff Loader from the Association of Seafood Producers said that the industry does not expect U.S. consumers to pay 25% more for snow crab. I don't know if anyone can even answer this question, but if this proposed tariff is passed on to consumers and these U.S. consumers decide that they don't want to pay it, what happens next?
The only thing I can think to say, the easy answer is somebody is going to have to find a way to fish that for less money or process it for less a cost to save that 25%.
I mean, to answer the question, maybe go out a little bit more on a limb here. If you look at the luxury U.S. consumer right now and you look at crab prices as a barometer, they seem to be doing pretty well, right? But, you know, two things can happen, and Barb alluded to it. If the 25% tariff is passed on to the consumer, they can either absorb it and pay the higher prices, or the processors are going to have to discount and squeeze a little bit of their margins or work with some of the, you know, other people in the supply chain to share some of that burden. One of my favorite sayings in the commodity markets is that high prices cure high prices. So the consumers will eat that until they don't. Okay. And at that point, they're going to have to find either something that, you know, is better on their seafood tower. The sellers are going to have to lower their prices and, you know, we'll find a new market for it, right?
I don't know if Barb, if you could tell me if this factors into anything, but China's also imposing a 25% tariff on Canadian seafood. Do you see this affecting the global snow crab trade at all?
In order to talk about snow crab in Canada, I have to talk about lobster in Canada and trading avenues. So a few years back when the U.S. imposed tariffs on China, Canadian lobster found a home in China. We were a little bit more competitive. I guess China was probably being considered as an optional market for Canada, but when you already have 95% of your crab product going to the U.S., very easy market, very easy for shipping. It's a truck right across the border. China is a little bit more challenging in terms of shipping costs and the appetite for crab in China. Because remember, China is getting cheaper crab from Russia right now. So that's probably not a great option for Canada at the moment.
And now something else I forgot that we need to throw into the equation, North Atlantic right whales. You know, we're worrying about what Canada is going to do with the tariffs, but we don't even have a start date yet for the season. You said, you know, maybe at the end of this month. Barb, if things are delayed, does the industry risk running into issues with the endangered whales? Could we be seeing fishing grid closures?
Yeah, that typically happens in and around the Gulf of St. Lawrence every summer. And that's why the crab season in Nova Scotia, for instance, in some parts of Nova Scotia, it runs into August. And that's to accommodate for those right whale closures. That's something they're used to. They've been dealing with it for several years now. So that's pretty typical for their season. And usually they have a shutdown in crab round about May, June for the right whales. And then they can come back at it in some parts of Nova Scotia, New Brunswick in August. So they're used to dealing with that. But in Nova Scotia, they don't have the same complications that you see in Newfoundland with protests and ions and people bickering over dock prices. In Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, they just go fishing and they figure out the price after that. So their start date will be their start date.
So we all need to pack for Boston. We're shooting for carry-on only. Gary, before we let you go, what are your final thoughts on snow crab?
So we talked a lot about tariffs here, but I believe that the quota reductions and the quotas will really impact the snow crab markets more than the tariffs. I think the optimist in me believes that the cooler heads will prevail by the time, you know, the season opens and any meaningful replacement is seen.
And Barb, can you leave us with just a tease of what you're chasing or watching next when it comes to seafood?
Well, I'm watching for, of course, the DFO decisions on opening dates for snow crab and the quota announcement for Newfoundland and Labrador, which I am expecting within days. So that's the big thing I'm watching for.
Thank you both. If you want an opportunity to talk snow crab or actually any species while in Boston for Seafood Expo North America, then just reach out. Barb, Gary, can you share your email or the best way to reach you?
Sure. It's gm@undercurrentnews.com.
Barb@undercurrentnews.com.
Anyway, this suitcase ain't going to fill itself, but we want to see you in Boston. Message us at podcast@undercurrentnews.com with your booth number, and Lauren and I will try to stop by.
And after listening to all the happenings that are going on with the markets, if you want a free trial to our services, hit us up. We can get that set up for you.
Exactly. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.